So, ladies and gentlemen, I want to begin to preach today. I'll finish next week, The Dash. That is the title. And that title is given by Sister Gbemi. I got inspiration from that. And I'm going to begin to preach and teach from there. So what I'm going to do this morning, I'm going to read scriptures. I'm going to make some points. And then I will continue next week. So if you want to see the end of The Dash, then make sure that you enjoy next week. When I will not have restriction, you know, by council of elders, you know, to delay me. Philippians chapter 3, 1 to 15. Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through to 15. You know, I said on Tuesday, Paul, talking to Timothy, he said, give attendance to public reading. And so we are going to read this very long, but you're going to enjoy it. And I'm going to read some two other places in the scriptures. I made 4 points, and then we continue next week. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he had thereof, he might trust in the flesh, I more. Now, these are his credentials. Chapter verse 5. Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But, verse 7. I underline it, I encourage you to underline same in your Bible. In other words, there's a change of direction. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless. And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made comfortable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained it, either were already perfect, but I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. And I underline that in my Bible. I encourage you to underline the same. But this one thing I do. I'm not doing two things. I'm not doing three things. I'm focused. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind them, and reaching forth unto the things which are before. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Hallelujah. Amen. Good reading, even though long. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Few verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, from verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. The translation says, so run to win. So run to win. And every man that strives for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we are incorruptible. And therefore, so run. Not as uncertainty, so fight high, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. The dash. And like I said to us, I'm going to make some few points very quickly, and then I'm going to put a pause in there. I was intrigued when she was teaching us last week in the discipleship class. He said, you go to the graveyard and see the epitaph of people. You know, that cement. And he said he lived 1802 to 2025. You know, and in between is a dash. The dash is an X. and lived for 50 years, year 1970 to year 2080, you know, and then there's a dash in between. The dash is an X. The dash is indeterminate. The dash could be good, and the dash could be bad. Methuselah lived for many years, and all that we could read in the Bible is Methuselah, you know, lived for about 8,000 lives. The dash in the lives of Methuselah was insignificant. It was not reportable. It was not teachable. It was not rememberable. The life was like a vapor, and there was no impact of that living. There was no impact of that existence. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to encourage us, teach us. I want to preach to us. I want to implore us so that our dash will be significant. We have people that live lives today, and their lives is still preaching to us. We have people that live lives today, and even though they go, their impact is still changing generations. We have names that when you mention today, the names continue to change and affect generations. We have people that want to be like some people, even though they are not existing, they've gone. But you remember you want to be like them. It's critical that your living impact life. It's more important that your departure will bring more life. You know, at death of some certain apostles, the Bible says even their body was bringing and impacting lives. At death, they impacted lives alive, and they changed lives at death. That is the essence of life. We must get to understand that, and so that we can change our focus. We get to understand that so that we can live to discover purpose. So that we can know the essence of living. The dash is actually the summary of your life. I dare to say that dash actually is going to talk about the reward you are going to have at the end of the day. How do you manage the dash between the time you were born and the time you die? How do you want to manage it? Let me give us this understanding. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be ye strong in the grace that is in the Lord Jesus. Thou therefore, my son, be ye strong in the grace. In verse 3, he moved from sonship. Now he started talking about a soldier. He said, endure hardship as a soldier of Jesus Christ. In verse 5, he changed and talked not only about a soldier any longer, it talks about an athlete. It says, he that strives for mastery does not have the mastery until he strives lawfully. In verse 6 of the same chapter, he moved from an athlete, he talks about a farmer, an husbandman. It says, worthy of an husbandman to first taste of the harvest of the fruit. And then in verse 15 of the same chapter, chapter 2, you know, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 15, he talks about you being, you know, a worker. He talks about a woman rightly dividing the word of the truth, you know. So you are not only a son, you are a soldier in verse 3. In verse 5, you are, you know, an athlete. In verse 6, you are a farmer, an husbandman. In verse 15, you are a workman, a worker. And then he goes into verse 21. He said, if a man will cleanse himself of this, he shall be a vessel. And so you are still a vessel. And in verse 24, he talks about a servant. He started from sonship, and he ended as a servant. What I want you to see is here. The commissioning of your life, or let me make this point, one of my points, you know, so that I can manage my time. We are sons by inheritance, but servants by call. We are all servants. We are all sons by inheritance, but we are servants by call. You will see here, verse 1 started about sonship. And verse 24, you know, it was rounding up as servant. You will see that those are seven attributes of a child of God. in you as a person are seven different entities. You are a son. You are an athlete. You are a worker. You are a farmer. You are a vessel. You are a servant. In you alone. And one significant thing I want you to see from that, it is one attribute of those seven that talks about your relationship, sonship, the grace. All the other six is talking about what you need to do. So, if by inheritance, you enter into sonship. But, by call, you are a servant. But the way we live our lives and can make the dash to be difficult is that we want to be son and son and son and son and son and son, and then you want to be a servant. That's not the way God has put it. That's not the intention of God. You are a son, and all the other attributes are things you need to do for the kingdom and in the kingdom. That's the first thing I want you to get this one. Number two. We are all called to run a race. So run your race to win. We are all called into a race. Hebrews chapter 12. I want to read that. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth easily beset, and let us run with patience. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. All of us, you have a race to run. From the day that you were born and to the day you go back to your maker, the dash is a race. The dash is a run that you need to make. All of us have entered into a race. All of us are on the field making a run. That is what you were called to do. That is how you were made to live. We were called to run a race. And that's what the Bible is saying. It said we have a cloud of witness. Olympics is running up today. And you have a lot of people that travel even from Nigeria. My wife was talking about a friend that traveled, you know, to France just for Olympics. And I saw an interview, the deputy governor of Edo State, he was there. People travel all over the globe to watch the Olympics once in 4 years. They become cloud of witnesses. They're cheering their nations, cheering their people, you know. And some of them, you know, when they want to run, they will look at the crowd and then they do like, please encourage me. You understand? And people too begin to encourage as though they are getting some strength from that encouragement. They are getting some strength from that clapping. That's what the Bible is saying here. It says we have a cloud of witness that are encouraging us so that we not fall running our race, so that we not get weary running our race. A lot of people are falling along, you know, the race of life. A lot of people are making a mess, you know, of the race of life. You saw the Heat, 4x100 Nigeria. They got number 3, but they were disqualified because one of our runners, you know, left his lane and went into another lane. America will not compete in the final because they were disqualified. They got positions, but they did not run their race very well. You've got to know how to run your race if you want to win at the end of the day. You've got to know how to take your steps if you want to win at the end of the day. The dash that you have is the time of running your whole race. Whether you started, whether you haven't started, whether you know it or you don't know it, I only pray that the day you open your eyes in eternity, you not just realize that there was a race you should have run and you missed it. We have a lot of things I've been talking about next week. A lot that distract us from running the race. A lot that befell us while running the race. We have a lot of casualties, you know, while we are running the race. A lot of people are falling. You know, this is a good time to preach this. If you follow the Olympics, you saw people, you know, the hurdle. You know, you are jumping those barriers. And I saw somebody, he fell. I didn't see them stop the race and say, oh, we are sorry, we are going to start again. Somebody has fallen. Our girl, who was the best record, you know, in the whole world, 100 meters hurdle, the whole world, the best record, he missed it. I thought they would say, oh, no. The holder of the best record in the world, you know, let's do Ojoro, let's do Ojoro. As it is that you have seen it, so it is in spiritual race. We all have a race, and you must run your race. I can't run your race. You can't run my race. We can't exchange our race. You can't. The third point I want to make very quickly. Jesus is the advantage in the race of life. Jesus is the advantage. Jesus is the advantage that you have to run your race acceptably and to win your race. If you know some things, you know about 200 and 400 and 4x4, they will say to you that the people that are on lane 1 and 2, they have advantage. You know that the way they organize themselves, where they are running, is that you see lane one is the one at the back. Do you want some of these things or just do your watch out on the time? If you watch, and that's why you should watch some of these things, they are physical, but you gain spiritual insights from it. You know, some of you are too spiritual. If I said, do you know the Olympics has been on, it's running up to, she can't get on the Olympics. Olympics come once every 4 years. And the way they do it is this. When you are doing that 400, this is the way. They don't start this way. It's 100 meter dash that is this way. Now, if you are doing 200, 400, this is the way they go. So lane one will be, you know, at the back. Then you have lane two. You have lane three. Until you have lane eight. So lane eight will appear that is the one that is in front. So you think because it's on lane eight, it's taking the first position. No, the way the field is done, that's why they are trying to give that. So I saw somebody when he was running the commentary, he saw that Nigeria was on lane seven or eight or so. He said the moment he saw her happening on lane nine, he said he knows that we cannot make it. The advantage is conferred, even though it's at the back. But the advantage in that race is conferred on somebody on lane one and two. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Even though you are far at the back, Jesus in you is the advantage. You can overtake and overtake and overrun and you get, you know, to the winning line. You know, a lot of us, we get worried because certain people have achieved some landmarks in their life. You think some people have gone ahead of you. You think some people, they've achieved, you know, a lot. Somebody was said, I'm bothered. You know, she's not here, so don't look around. She said, sir, I'm going to be 40, you know, in November. And I see that there's no husband. There are no children. There's nothing that I have. Some of us, we are like that. Some of us, we think, by this age, I should have attained this. By this age, I should have attained this. By this age, I should have attained this. I say, if you are thinking like that, it is because you don't know that you have the advantage. When you know that you have the advantage, you are not bothered about people that have gone ahead. You are not worried about the people that are shining now. It's not that their light will be dimmed, but you too, you are going to shine. You know, we have some people, they want to push some people down, you know, so that they can get up. Those are not the spirit of Christ. Let them be shining. You too will shine. The only thing is that when you get there because of the advantage, you shine brighter. You shine better. And so the point is, Jesus is the advantage. Can I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, without Jesus in your life, there's no purpose. When you don't have Jesus, There's no purpose. And when you don't have purpose, you cannot run your race. And when you are not running your race, life does not make any meaning. If you are not in the race, life does not make any meaning. And that's why you see some people, they run helter-skelter. You know, because they haven't discovered purpose. When you discover purpose, it makes you to be focused in life. I like what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 9:24. You know, there about that we write. You know what he said? He said, I box. You know, can you come, Shola? He said, I box. Not like the one boxing the hair. You know how you box the hair? You box the hair if you don't have purpose. Let me close my eyes. And I want to box it. You know, you just move around. Do you understand? Now, this is the place I found him the other time. You know, and I close my eyes. You know, closing your eyes means you don't have purpose. And I want to box my target. I want to hit my target. This time around, I'm running. I want to breast the tape. You know, and I box. You know, I box. Because I thought that's where my target is. I box. You know that I'm boxing. But I'm not making impact. Because I'm blindfolded. I can't see. I have no purpose. Purposeless life is a blinded life. Do you understand that? I have the energy. You know, I have all the muscle. I want to hit the target. But I'm blind. But if I open my eyes, I have purpose. Do you understand that? I can beat. Do you understand? Because I'm seeing. But the moment I close my eyes, I don't know where he is. That's exactly what it happens. Thank you, my brother. That's what happens for a life without purpose. You are like worm boxing the hair. You dissipate energy. You turn up directions, but you are not having results. A lot of believers are living lives without results. A lot of believers are living lives without purpose. A lot of deliver, they are wasting their dash, and suddenly the end will come. Whether you believe it, you like it or not, end will come. In my own modest way, I'm still running my race. I'll be talking about, you know, the life of Paul next week. I'm still running my own race. But ladies and gentlemen, people seated here are products, you know, of my own race to an extent. Not only that, in my own purpose, I've got some of you to discover purpose. If you are not here, some of you will never preach. If you haven't come here, I will not know that some of you even can lead prayers. But in my purpose, you are discovering purpose. In my own race, you started running your own race. Can I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, purpose is not started until you find Christ. It's not about the fact that I was born 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago. No! When you find Christ, that's when you get on your mark. You know that when they want to do that race, just think of a 100-meter dash, then they'll be jumping like this. They understand that they'll be jumping like this. You watch athletes, oh my God. Some of you think it's football alone that I watch. This Olympics and following it. You know, they'll be jumping like this. Now, then there'll be a whistle. The moment that whistle goes, you see all of them at the mark. When they were jumping, if they like, you know, while they are doing their jumping, if you like, he could have done his 100. It does not count. Until you get to the mark, your life does not begin to count. Anything you are doing until you get to the mark is a waste of time. It's a vexation of the spirit. It is weariness of flesh. Until you get to the mark. And what gets you to the mark is salvation in Jesus. When you don't have Jesus, you haven't gotten to the mark. If you are here this morning, You haven't received Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. You haven't started living. You are still jumping. You are still jumping here. You are burning energy. You know you can be jumping like this forever. You know, like some people will jump like this forever. I hope you not be part of it. That's the truth. Some people will be jumping. Their dash will just be, I'm getting ready to run. That's their dash. That's all that be said about them. They were ever getting ready to run. They never ran. What are we going to talk about your life? When you went to get on the mark and you want to have the advantage in the race, you must be born again. I'm not talking about being a member of a church. I'm not talking about even being a member of this church. I'm talking about salvation, accepting Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. I was talking. I hope my brother is born again now. You know, we will not be offended. I said, are you born again? He said, I've been born again since the day I was born. Because I was born in a church. Oh, you can never be born in a church better than me. I was born in a church on a Tuesday. I was born on Ojo Isegun. Tuesday, that was the day I was born. I was born in a mission, CAC, Refi. And so I was born in a church. I attended CAC, you know, a secondary school. You know, I was born on a Tuesday. And so then I'm born again. Oh, bullshit. As I've been singing in choir for years. Satania calling me. There's nobody can ever be as good singing as devil. But it was cast down. I've been doing stuff in church. No, that's what we are talking about. We are saying, is there a day like my day, you know, that I gave my life to Jesus? 19th of April, 1987, 7 p.m. That was the day. That was my own day that I get on the mark. And that was the day I started my race. Let me make my last point, because the elders will get upset with me. The last point, and then I round up this morning, is this. The greatest tragedy of life is not death. The greatest strategy of life is living a life without purpose. You know, when people die, we think that is the end. We think that is the tragedy of life. We think that is the tragedy of living. No, the tragedy of life and living is when you live your life without purpose. When they wake you up and say, what are you living for? And then you are shaking your head or you are looking up and down. That is the strategy. Where you don't know why you are here. Where you don't know why you exist. Let me round up asking you a question. Are you living for your own glory? Or are you living for the glory of Jesus? Can I please bow down heads? And I'm going to pray. Oh, Shalaba Katayabash. Are you living for your own glory? Or you're living for the glory of God? You can do fantastically well, but you are running your own race, not the race God has earmarked for you. You can do it fantastically well. We will applaud you. We will give you all the trophies. We will give you all the accolades. But ladies and gentlemen, you've run your race. What a tragedy. You've run your race, not the race God has earmarked for you. To start your race, you must get the advantage. That's Jesus. Wherever you're seated, place your right hand over your chest. If you want the advantage, you want the advantage. Thank you, my brother. Thank you, my sister. The way to have the advantage is to give your life to Jesus. I'm not talking about you attending a fantastic church. You can be attending even an auditorium. And you can even have the best pastor preach to you. That is not what we're talking about. We're talking about the salvation of your soul, ladies and gentlemen. Salvation of your soul. If you want to accept Jesus, or you want to rededicate your life this morning, right hand on your chest, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm going to pray with you very quickly. You want the advantage. You want Jesus to come. Just place your right hand over your chest very quickly. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If your right hand is on your chest, come and lift, wave the other hand. Let me be sure. Let me be sure. Let me be sure. I can't see one hand on your chest. Just lift the other hand up. I want to be sure. There's nothing embarrassing. There's nothing to be ashamed of. You are starting. Thank you, my sister. You are starting your own race. I started mine. 19th of April, 1987. 7 p.m. I started mine. You've got to start your race. You've got to. Thank you, my sister. Thank you, my brother, to at the back. You got to start your race. You got to start your race. Your hand is on your chest. Wave the other hand. I want to be sure. I can see my sister. I can see my brother. You have more. You have more. Thank you. Now, say these prayers after me. Even right there where you are seated. It does not matter whether you are seated or you are standing. Whether you are kneeling. You know, it does not matter. Just say, Heavenly Father, I come to Jesus. And I believe in my heart that he died and he rose for me. He told me. And so I confess him as my Lord and my Savior. I'm born again. Father, I pray for these souls. Those that lifted their hands and all the other people that said the prayers. I pray, Lord, that you will receive them into beloved. I pray, Father God, that as it starts purpose, they will not be weary. They will not fall by the wayside. They will run and breast the thing, and they shall receive their reward. Well done, good and faithful servant. Your living and life will not be disappointed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise and glory.